So our message today then is headed, Jesus Sets an Example. Now we still say, don't we, to our children and even grown-ups, if we set a good example, that is good and it will influence others to do the same. Well, of course, it doesn't always work, does it? But we should do that anyway. So our story then today, or our study really, it's found in these two Bible readings that we've had read to us. And probably it's one of the most beautiful examples of setting a good example that Jesus did. And it teaches us in a remarkably simple way, doesn't it? What it is to serve others with a humble spirit. Now, we can't just read the John account without reading the piece from Luke as well, because there's just a bit more that we've had read to us. So this wonderful account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. How wonderful, how lovely, you say in John. But then when you read, we've had read to us the little piece in Luke, there's a bit more to it. And it's breathtaking what goes on in this story, in its content and its setting. Can we try to picture then the setting for this story? It's headed, Jesus Washes the Disciples' Feet. Now, your handouts that you've got, I've actually, just for your encouragement really, and because it's quite difficult to remember, we had to learn them when we were in Sunday school years ago, all the names of the disciples. And of course, the oldest sort of trick that people say is, oh yes, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And it isn't, of course. The 12 disciples were as I've listed here. Now, without going through all this list, of course, these people, these 12 disciples, they weren't sophisticated, they weren't diplomatic, they weren't very polite. You might say they were a motley crew. Most of them, well, five of them were fishermen. One was a tax collector, Matthew, and cheated people terribly, and he was hated. And then, of course, Judas Iscariot, he was treacherous and he was called by Jesus, and I say it carefully, he was said he was a devil. The devil entered into Judas Iscariot. So all in all, quite a bunch of people, ordinary people. But as you'll see, and I won't read it through in the handout you've got, these were ordinary people that Jesus chose. And he chooses you and me to do the same, to serve him and follow him. Now, can you picture the scene then we've had read to us? Here is, in Jesus' day, it was the custom, if you went to somebody's house, to stop at the door and you would either have a servant or somebody in the house that would wash the feet, your feet, because in there were no tarmac roads. It was dusty and sandy and hot and sticky. And so you were greeted when you went in with your feet being washed, which was great. And then you could go and sit down. And it was the custom then. The servant did this. He had water, a bowl of water, and he had a towel. And if visitors did arrive, the servant would wash these visitors' feet. Now, again, imagine that very night then that we're looking at, the Passover feast, where surely Jesus was the VIP, the very important person. He was the senior person, of course. He was God. And this scene, it's very, very different, you know, to the painting you might see in the National Gallery in Trafalgar Square, where Jesus is sort of pictured in a long table, sitting in the middle, and all the disciples sitting along. It wasn't like that at all, was it? That wasn't what they did. They reclined on one elbow with their feet over. So let's just look a little at the teaching then of this chapter that Chris has read to us, or part of it. Now, if you look at all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that Jesus always obeyed scrupulously the Old Testament laws. He didn't abandon them, not yet. He obeyed them perfectly. And they were still to be obeyed on this night, right up to Jesus' death at Calvary's cross. And this occasion, then, it was no different. And here was Jesus and the disciples obeying the law of celebrating the Passover, despite what was ahead of him at Calvary. And of course, straightway we learn the wonder, really, of obedience of Jesus to his Father, Father God. Right through Jesus' life, it was Jesus' delight to do the will of God, the will of his Father. And so this sets a good example for us, doesn't it? Even just that fact there, to be obedient. It's a grace that God wants from all of us. Let me just read what Paul even wrote many years later about this wonderful obedience that Jesus carried out and that we are to. It says in Romans 5 and verse 19, it says this: "For just as through the disobedience of the one man," and that's Adam, "many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man," and that's Jesus, "many will be made righteous," and that's, if we have faith, you and me. So obedience is a wonderful grace that God loves us to have. But then, of course, the appointed hour had come in this account then. And it says in verse 53, I think, in Luke, "This is your hour when darkness reigns." And that was called the enemy's hour of Satan. How sad that was. But our reading refers to Jesus. This is when he would fulfill the Father's will, and ultimately would completely triumph. And, you know, how we learn, don't we, that all things are ordered by God, and his timing is always perfect. And in a much lesser way, perhaps we may feel, but in God's eyes, his timing for our lives and the issues that crop up in our life, they're very important to God, because he cares and he loves his children and mankind. Now, as the story unfolds then, here you have Jesus. They've finished their meal. Here are the disciples chatting, it seems. And two incredible things happen. Jesus has blessed the meal they've been eating. He was about to lay down his life in total sacrifice for all his children in the world. And yet, in an amazing act of humility, he is prepared and does start to wash the feet of these disciples, all 12 of them. And as an example of serving others. Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, there'd be a hush in that Passover room and a quietness among the disciples, surely. But what do we witness? We've just had it read to us in Luke. verse 24, there's an argument. And who is going to be the greatest? They start to argue in front of the Lord, who's been washing their feet. It's just incredible. You say, surely not. Arguing about who is to be the greatest. This awful sin of pride. And God hates pride. But it rears its ugly head here. But trying to give the disciples perhaps argument just a little reason, we might say, well, if Jesus was arranging plans to come, the kingdom that would come, the disciples wanted to know where they would all be in the hierarchy of things. Now, do you see how very wrong, of course, they got it? And so do we, friends. We do. Understanding God's will is not always easy. It is not. And why? Because the big I gets in the way. The big I of our will. But we do see, despite this argument that's going on, the humility, the lowliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he showed that to these bewildered disciples. Here is our Lord and Master. He's about to lay down his sacred humanity with awful suffering in the name of love. And he's to leave such a wonderful example of serving, we might say, to the very lowest rung of the ladder. Yet these disciples, they did betray Jesus, as you know. We have Judas in the end, at the end of this supper, he walked out to betray Jesus. Peter, one of the senior disciples, yes, he publicly disowned Jesus. And all the others, they deserted Jesus when the chips were down and they fled away in hiding. Now, how does that sit with you and me? We've done the same, haven't we? We've deserted the Lord. We've run off. You know, the Lord knows all about us. He knows about our sins. And all we will do in the future, he knows all that. Yet, he loves us with an everlasting love. Now, we could say that what was going on with Jesus washing the disciples' feet? Well, you say, well, it's not really a miracle. Well, it is a miracle. It is a miracle of Jesus' humility. And we can say that he did this wonderful act of washing disciples' feet to show four main points. And they're quite simple points. His love, that must come first. The love that Jesus has to his children, we'll never know it on earth, but it's something just amazing. Then he did it to show his utter humility and his condescension to mankind. And then he did it, three, to teach us about the washing of our sins that we need. And of course, what we've been talking about, he did it fourthly, to give a simple yet powerful example of serving others. So there's four main reasons that we can look at very briefly. So love, we've mentioned love, and we'll mention it again. We can say that love was the main reason. This act of supreme serving and humility by Jesus. The Bible tells us that the love of Christ is beyond knowledge, and it is. This love of God, of Jesus, it can't be measured. It's like an ocean, the love of Jesus. It's full. And here on earth, you and I, we may know just a little paddling of it. Just a little. And you won't know the fullness of it until you go to heaven. And then there will be what we call a fullness. The land of pure delight. Now, how does that love affect you? Does it move you and I to love him more and more? I think of that wonderful hymn that is one of my favourites, and there's the last verse, it goes like this. Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is cold and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love you more. And that sums up so much what I so often feel. I long to love the Lord more, and I have to pray that I might. And I'm sure you all do that as well. It's a great prayer, isn't it? And then humility. This act of washing the disciples' feet, usually done by a servant, the lowest, yes, or a slave even, but now carried out by the Son of God. It teaches, or it did teach Peter and the others, that they must learn how to be a servant. They must be a servant if they're going to be a leader, which they were. Many of them were to be leaders of the new church, weren't they? Not easy at all. But just think of it. Here is the Son of God. Here is the King of Kings doing the most menial of all tasks. And what teaching there is in that simple act for you and I, to be humble when by nature we have proud hearts. We do. Spiritual washing. Now, Jesus said, in what we've had read to us, Jesus said you should wash each other's feet. Now, what does that mean? Well, some take it literally in a right way, and they do wash physically people's feet in church. We, in the churches I've been to, we've not done it, but we've got to be careful here. Jesus did this, and if you said to me, well, why don't we? Well, I wouldn't have an answer, really, I suppose, in a physical way. But in a figurative sense, the act of washing the feet, it's to be lowly and to be humble and to serve each other. So there is a deep meaning in it, in a spiritual or figurative sense. But this sets forth beautifully the washing away of our sins, doesn't it? It must do. To be washed by the Lord Jesus. And that's what we all need. And then the last point, our service then. A practical example of service, isn't it? And if we wish to honour God, then we need to be ready to be a servant by the example the Lord Jesus has given us. Now, I said earlier about the grace of obedience and the sin of disobedience. And it so often gets in the way, doesn't it, of our walk with the Lord. It does. The word sin, S-I-N, it's got a center letter. Do you know what that letter is? Yes? Shout.
I.
Yes, that's right. I. That I. And you know that letter, I, it needs dethroning. The big I of human nature. Here comes the visual aid. And so that's, you can see it. There's the I, the big I, really. And we all have that by nature. We do. We do. Now, how is that dethroned? Well, it is dethroned by the cross of Jesus. And the cross is I crossed out. Very simple, I know, but that's what the cross is. Self has got to be go. It's got to go. And we've got to be and will be obedient to what Jesus has done at the cross. So the cross is I, you and I, crossed out by Jesus' wonderful sacrifice at Calvary. Now, isn't that wonderful? So this letter I then. You know, if we think about it, we use this, and I do, all day long. The letter I. I this, I that, I want, I tell, I wonder, I go. I wonder how many I's we use in a day. It must be so many, mustn't it? Now, it's not wrong, of course. But it just shows you how I, ourselves, centres in our life. And we need to sacrifice that to the cross. We really do. And so it is Christ's obedience that does become ours. So, to end, be encouraged then by the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, his wonderful example, a simple example. And look up to him for all your help and all your inspiration that you need. You know, one of the great lessons we learn from this account is that Jesus uses very ordinary men and women, boys and girls, to do his work on earth. And then they become extraordinary. They do. Now, isn't that cheering and wonderful? God will use you. However poor you may feel, I've got nothing to offer. Yes, you have. Everybody has got a purpose and a use. And God will use you. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayerful attention. May God bless his word. Amen.